It's no surprise that updating the electricity grid today will make for a better tomorrow. Increased self-sufficiency is just one of the benefits. The Great Grid Upgrade will also boost the economy and create new green jobs. And best of all, you can continue doing the things you love, like watching the latest epic nature documentary or listening to this podcast while caring for the planet too. Find out more at nationalgrid.com.
Beautiful morning. Clear skies. It's early March, a bit chilly. The sun is beaming down and I'm clambering a little woodland path, hoping to get up onto the top of a hill, my local hill, and explore some spring wildlife. I've got a couple of targets that I want to hopefully find today, but also it's just a glorious day to be out and share the stirrings of the countryside, because it's been a while since I've done a solo plod. It's Fergus here. I'm the podcast host, and yeah, it feels like the world has changed overnight almost. I'm heading into an oak woodland. I've got some great tits and blue tits and coal tits all around at the moment. I'm heading up into this oak woodland. I say oaks, there's three gorgeous silver birches reaching up into the blue sky. And then I'm hoping to get onto the moors, so we'll have a little bit of woodland bird life. And then up on the moor, up on the open hillside. Well, my hope is for an adder. I'd like to find an adder today. Now, it's a long shot. Really long shot. They are here, definitely. But there's an open gate and march uphill. Losing my breath already. Short of breath already. There's the perfect habitat for them, apart from the fact that it's just heavily walked, lots of dogs and lots of sheep. So it may not be perfect in that sense. But there's lots of south-facing hillside, scrubby bits of gorse and bramble and all sorts of addery delights. So I'm going to just have a little look around, see if there's anything. But then I'm going to try and get up onto the hill itself. And my absolute joy would be to find a little moorland falcon, our tiniest bird of prey, called the merlin, which I'm told is relatively, well, can be found on the tops of these hills. So it'd be interesting if there's any on Sugarloaf. But for now, let's see what we can find here. A couple of wood pigeons dodging off. There's definitely a song thrush further up. We'll get a bit closer to him, staking his territory, as ever. This time of year, early March, all our resident birds can sing to their heart's delight because the migrants haven't arrived yet. Probably the very first migrants will be here in a week or two. So what we'll hear today are resident birds. Everywhere's a squelch and because there's been so much rain, everything is boggy and squelchy, even this what is normally a very dry path. Looks like a couple of song thrushes. Dweeb, dweeb, dweeb. Hooey, hooey. They like to repeat their songs a little bit, like testing the notes out. And so I'm sort of walking up a green lane. Yeah, listen to them. Not very close, but I'm going to shut up for a minute. not an absolutely full voice. I think if I came at dawn, which is so hard to do, even for someone so passionate about birdsong as me. Now, there is a tree creeper singing here. Let's see if I can point it out to you. It's like a needling giggle in the background. That's the song thrush. Great tip. Tree creeper doesn't want to play a motorbike in the distance. It's funny how the sound of motorbikes travels so far. It's like, I thought it was a bee, and then it grew bigger and bigger. It'll be miles away. So all the canopies of these oaks are completely bare. I think if I stood still long enough, I'd be able to pick out this singer, this song thrush. An aeroplane. I think it's one of those sounds that I've become, accepting of in the podcast. So nice to escape human trash noise. Can't really avoid the aeroplanes. A couple more wood pigeons. Now there are some goldcrests, I think, singing up ahead. Path that switches back up onto the hill here, and then we'll have a little look for adders. Robins definitely. Getting a bit closer to the goldcrests. So that insistent, high-pitched lead, 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 lead. Not that. So hard picking them out sometimes. It's beautiful trees. And because there's no leaves, I keep switching around. There's an ivy covered ash tree here. And I think that is a goldcrest. And I think he's in the ivy. There we go. It's almost like so high-pitched. Up here is a great, it's has such varied voices. So I keep going, what is that? What? Oh gosh, I've got to go through my library of mental library. Here we go. Pumping up a tyre really quickly. And there's a slightly slower pumping up of a tyre. Both great tits. It's just magical. Now up above me I can see the sunny hillside, which I've got to get up to somehow. It's really steep. How do I get up there? That looks like a lot of clambering. Let's give it a go up here. Yeah. Surrounded by great tits at the moment. On the other side of the valley, so basically I'm on a hillside. On the other side of the valley is it's a very steep V-shaped valley, and on the other side, a beautiful whitewashed farmhouse. Oh, what have we got here? Nice. Tree creeper. Oh, it's a little mouse, like, furtively. Oh, he's flown onto the next tree. What a sweet little tree creeper. Right, so let's climb this hill and get amongst the adders, if there are any. This is me now clambering up a very overgrown green lane. Switches back up the hill into what looks like a little quarry. Oh, so boggy. The bottom of the green lane, just leaf litter. And a goldcrest absolutely right beside me. I'm gonna plow on. I'm not gonna breathe heavily into the microphone for the next 10 minutes. So I'll see you at the top. Yeah, all right. That was quite steep. I'm out onto the hillside now, and I've got a view back across the Usk Valley, town of Abergavenny, to Blorenge, great blancmange of a mountain. The sun is coming out again, which is good. I'm just going to have a look around these. Some really interesting pockets of gorse. It might be. That's a little mounds on the hillside. And these tangles of vegetation could be adders. I hear from dog walkers, we saw a snake up on the hill. And it can only be an adder up on the hill up here. I've seen grass snakes, a few, and they're doing better than adders. But adders, yeah, very small as well, adders. At this time of year, it seems really early in the year for a cold-blooded creature, but the snakes really like to come out in this early, warm weather to get active and find mates. So I'm walking along a little, sort of slightly more than a sheep track. Looks like horses have come along here, actually, amongst dead bracken. And a few trees have managed to get up above the bracken, but not many. And just looking on the sort of sunny side of the paths, just in case there's that telltale coiled up ladder just hanging out there. I mean, even where they're common, and there's very few places where they're common, it's still... still got to work hard to find. So I'm just scanning around with great hope. Right, this patch of gorse up here doesn't look that promising, but we'll give it a sniff. And now it looks a bit bare. I'm clumping quite a bit, so I'm going to try a little bit more stealthy, but I'm looking for any movement. Doesn't look that promising. There's a bit of a mound underneath. This is where they'll be. Just on the edge of safety, but in the sunshine so they can warm up. But if anything should happen, they can slip back into the safety. And in this kind of dry bracken, we'll hear them move as well. Foxgloves, so they're preparing to launch, and it'll be July when they flower, but their sort of launch pads are already well prepared for the liftoff. Ooh. Even up here you can hear the sort of drone of, it's a Wednesday, so the drone of life in the valley below. Well, there's no one up here. Last time we came, a few weeks ago, on a sunny February day, which is extremely rare, there were lizards. It's a perfect sunny bank here. There's this gorgeous smell of... oh, it's like... is it this box hedge here? What is this? It's box, I think. Yeah, it smells lovely, actually. And there are loads of flies appearing in the warmth. So, and I found what has to be perfect adder territory. It's just a kind of clump of gorse. Not much is stirring today. There's more of these mounds, so I can just slowly make my way up. A bit close to the path where most of the dog walkers come, so my adders hate that sort of disturbance. It really stresses them out. There's a meadow pipit, my first meadow pipit. They are the very tasty prey of, well, I say very tasty, I've never eaten one, but for all the merlins I've spoken to, highly recommend meadow pipit. Absolutely number one on the menu for moorland merlins. The meadow pipits have a sort of weak flight, unconvincing. I do like them. Even in the depths of winter, they populate these bleak uplands. And now in summer, they get first dibs on the best nest sites. And a wily meadow pipit will have survived a lot of encounters with sparrowhawks and harriers and merlin. Just taking a little break. It's such a gorgeous day. There's a buzzard above me, just climbing, occasionally uttering that lovely, go on, do it. I dare you. Oh, he's flying away from me now. He's flying to the next ridge. Maybe there's better thermals there. Actually, this is a really good place. Really varied little nooks and crannies, lots of sunshine, lots of south-facing corners. There's got to be an adder here, there really has to be. This is absolutely the most likely. The vegetation's just a bit more interesting, so there'll be more prey for them here. There's mosses and grasses and herbs and, oh my goodness, there's a piece of tin. Someone's put a bit of corrugated iron down. That could, just could, have something under it. That's been placed there deliberately, it has to be. Okay, let's lift it very carefully. Lift it very carefully. Can you hear the ants? There's some huge meadow ants here. I'm going to put it back down. There's no reptiles as far as I can see. But a fantastic possible refuge here for reptiles. Not in this case. I'm going to put it back down. But that's definitely been placed here for adders or other reptiles. Okay, there's another refuge here. These have definitely been deliberately placed here. Could there be anything under this one? No. No, but I'm going to clear the rubbish off the top of it. Then I'll get more heat. That's really interesting. So somebody is placing refuge here for the creatures. Any more in here? Let's see. A few bits of corrugated iron that act as a, well, they warm up, so they're really nice places to hide under and get warm without exposing yourself. Let's see, there's this really interesting hillside here. Much more varied than the bracken-covered slopes elsewhere. So, just gonna keep going. Really interesting. A little trench on the hillside. Now, I've not explored this part of the hill ever. It's well off the footpaths. So I doubt that many people come here. And that's why this could definitely be a little, it's almost like a tiny little dale. Quarried little dale. And this hillside is becoming more and more wooded, which is really, really lovely. There's gorse in flower. I think I'm going to leave the adders for now. See if I can reach a part of the hill I've not been to before. And see if those merlins are around. There's a broad track ahead of me. And, there's a bird at the top of a tree. Ah, okay, it's a pair of stonechats. So there's a male stonechat. I just trod an enormous cowpat. A male stonechat at the top of a little wispy hawthorn and on top of the gorse below is his mate. They're lovely little dumpy moorland birds. He's more orangey. She's a sort of lovely auburny browny colour. And he's got a sort of black head and a bit of white. Normally they're so noisy. I'm sort of basically on a ridge between two valleys. One very, very V-shaped, steep wooded valley. The second, a broader U-shaped valley, which is a farm at the top. And then beyond that, one of my favourite woodlands, which sort of folds like a lovely blanket. But up ahead, brown shapes, greys. Oh, hello. A meadow pipit. It just flew up in front of me. From one of these little dells. Now, lots of hoof prints, but the brown shapes other creatures that made these big horseshoe prints, as it were. Wild horses. Three that I can see, but sort of blending into the bracken rather nicely. I need to stretch my legs a bit now because probably got about a mile and a half to get across the moor. I'm so lucky it's not windy. A mile and a half to get across the moor to where I think there might be. It's a bit wilder and less dog walked, and where we might find a little flutter of a merlin. But I don't know. I don't have any local knowledge on this apart from the fact that I once bumped into a birder who said he'd seen them up here, slowly climbing this ridge. Looks like a raven up ahead of me. A raven just landed in a tree. And a robin is singing. There's a distant raven. Oh, hello. He's talking directly to me. Oh, wow. He's mantling his shoulders at me. Or she. Oh, that's weird. That's so weird. That one in the distance. I think they are talking to each other, but it looks like this one nearby, probably 50 yards away. Massive bird, massive black bird, massive beak. What are you saying? Keep away? I've got to go this way. He's flown off. It's at the top of a, he's flown right beside me. It's wings. Did you hear the sound of its wings? Just incredible. Oh, that was beautiful. But weird. As you can hear, there's ravens. They're sort of circling around the valley. Oh. Look back behind me. They're in the sun. Oh, my goodness. Like a sort of... like those fighter pilots who come flying out of the sun to surprise the enemy. Ah, he came out of the... or she. I don't know. Came out of the sun right at me. Not right at me, but a kind of flyby. It must be their territory. I'm not intruding on their territory, really. And I think they're just communicating with each other. There's a lovely chaffinch up here. High on the hill. But they're sort of still in the tree line. What's this then? I don't know what this bird is. I'm assuming... oh, it's a great tit, of course it is. She sees you. They all have slightly different voices or different calls at different times. Anyway, plod on. There's the chaffinch. A sort of rather conversational cascade of... Do you think I should carry on? I don't know. Does that sound right? I don't know. But, yeah, brilliant. That, for me, is a real sound of late spring, actually. Yeah, coming out of winter. Lovely chaffinch song. Sort of chuckle. A genial chuckling song. A bit hesitant at first. Then it gets going here. That's it. Did one more go. Oh, cheeky, he moved. Dear sir, please don't move when I'm recording you. Yours, in haste, the podcast. Okay. There's a lot of false summits, so I keep thinking I'm up on the ridge, and I'm not up on the ridge. I climbed for quite a long way on Sugarloaf. It has numerous foothills. But the main peak is a great proper... looks like a proper mountain. It's nice and pointed, unlike most of the Banai Brycheiniog, which can look a bit like just giant hills, big rounded lumps. And I can see on the peak quite a few little specks, which are humans. I'm not going up there though. It's another massive climb. What I'm going to do is head around and explore the great northern, northwestern flank, just to see, This is true plodding. The squelch, squirch, and then grassy path and more squelch. Rising all the time, bracken either sides, a stone, long dry stone wall with an earthen bank behind it. Now that has got, unfortunately there's an impassable barbed wire fence between me and the wall, otherwise I'd walk along the top. Absolutely guaranteed to find you adders there. Absolutely, 100%. Well, there's our first skylark. I see it going up. Little fluttering moth-like flight. Higher, closer, circling around. Oh, parachute's down. Oh, another one's up further on. Hello, skylark. What a great song. I can't see this one. Be one of those swimming dots in front of my eyes. So when I look now at the valley to the south is kind of misty, and you just see this long ridge of hill after hill after hill. Blorange, Gilwern Hill, Llangattock, Llangunada, and so forth. Torrafal, I think it's called. Great hills. I've climbed them all. Definitely two skylarks here now. Setting each other off, winding each other up, like kids. One starts playing up, another one's yeah. That's not how kids sound. Beautiful chattering. And there's some sort of, it's really interesting here. The dry stone wall and earthen bank. This is a wren just clicking away in the undergrowth to my left. Oh, the bracken undergrowth. I can't actually see it. Cheeky little bird. Oh, that's great. Little bit of skylark song and amazing little song flight of the meadowpipit. I hope we hear that again, because that's really, really cool. So I'm going to take a lateral, I'm going to go round, a sort of concentric journey around the peak here. Pipits everywhere. It's really nice to see, actually. They're so funny. I love their little, so I said their flight is unconvincing, but they definitely, they fly up and fly up and fly up and have this accelerating song, and then it's kind of parachuting down. So funny. And the wings held aloft. Okay. That's what I love about this hillside, is apart from the excitable little, which I think is probably a wren. Is you get these streams gushing out of little hidden gullies. And because we've had so much rain, they're really, really, really pumping the water out now. And it's absolutely, it looks so clean and fresh. And it's one of the lovely things about this time of year. You can feel yourself sort of washed free of all the kind of dankness of winter. And last year, I think actually spring is New Year. Forget January and February. Let's go for March as New Year. So I've entered a realm of skylarks, but up ahead is a red kite just soaring over the sunny part of the hill. Although it's barely moving its wings, it just from being a large bird above my head, it's now just a speck in the far distance. There's constant skylark chatter here. Very open moorland here. Not many trees at all. We're quite high above the tree line. I'm quite high above the tree line now. And I wonder whether it's get a bit higher. But I just... I've always felt this side of the hill was good for merlins. But it's quite sparse, quite hard to see where any birds of prey might be. So, I think what I've discovered about looking for a small bird of prey on a vast hillside is that it's really very tricky. And you need a full day. Now, it's like looking for a needle in a haystack. Got to an interesting part of the hill though, and I think if I had a bit more time, I'd explore. Oh my goodness, skylark bounced, two of them out from under my feet. Oh, okay. I see where I probably need to go. It's a great spur of hill that I've yet to conquer. Oh my goodness. Right. How interesting. I'm going to have to come back because I thought I was on the spur of hill. I've come up to a ridge and there's this wild and beautiful hillside that I really have not explored before. And now that's annoying. But now I know the length. I've walked about 3 or 4 miles to get to here, so I've got to get back. Annoyingly, for other meetings and things. But there's a whole interesting spur of the hill. Quasars, he says. So this isn't a plane. It's a paragliding thing with a motorized paraglider type microlite. What are they called? Like a fixed wing with an engine underneath. I don't know where it's coming from. I'm sort of following one of these great whaleback type hills, foothills of Sugarloaf. It's miles of skylark and bracken and kind of featureless, although the views everywhere are amazing. There's a person in the whiny little aeroplane is taking a tour of the hill, of the mountain. Quite funny. Quite cool, I imagine. But, so no merlins, though, still. And I think I need a different approach. And maybe I'll come back another time and see what I can do. I'm going to head down there. There's a path, rather attractive-looking path, that just surges off the top of the hill down into the trees. I think this will take me to the valley bottom. And I think what we'll have down there, hopefully, is another sample of lovely woodland birdsong. Paraglider coming right overhead now. Coming towards me, really low level. Tree height. Seems really quiet, but he's so close. There he is. Amazing. Down we go into the woods. Paraglider coming right over the top of me there. That was funny. Ah, so I did make it down and I'm just staggering beside a stream, really fast flowing, beautiful mountain stream. And it's the sort of place where, well, have a listen to yourself. I'm actually going to sit here for a few minutes and enjoy this So, yeah, I did sit by the river, found a fallen tree that is a bit of beech tree that had fallen across the water and created a little seat for me. And, well, I did a recording for our sound escapes at the same time, so I had to force myself just to sit still, which, even for me who loves being out in nature, my mind was whirring with all the things I've got to do and all the emails I've got to answer and all the editing I've got to do and the promotions for the podcast. I had to stop my hand going to my pocket to pick out my phone to check things, which is such a habit when you're kind of busy and your brain is always connected. Anyway, I timed 30 minutes because I wanted to record that length of time, and I forced myself to stop, and it took about 10 of those minutes to calm the boiling brain. And then I began to just hear the water and the kind of different tones in the water. A few birds came by. There was a grey wagtail and a great tip singing and a robin, but mostly I was just immersed in the listening to the water. And after a while, though, it's just strange, I started looking around because I thought, oh, there's voices, people are coming. And I thought, no, there's nobody there. Absolutely nobody there. And then again, a murmuring, a whispering, and then a sort of slightly higher-pitched voice. Looked around. Nobody there. Because when I looked around, because I didn't want the voices to appear on the recording. You never know what you might pick up. And after a while, I realised that the river, the water, the stream, there was sort of creating these noises and creating these gurgles and burbles and warbles and murmurs. And it was the river, it was the water. So strange experience, actually. But also, after, you know, once I realized that I was fine and listened to it, I felt, you know, relaxed, and I've just watched and listened to the water, and I can definitely see it starts to grow in you, the sound and all the little thoughts and all the silly thoughts and all the work thoughts just recede. And actually, yeah, there is something in that. Being in this place at this moment is all you can be and all you can do, and there's nothing else you can do. It's been a beautiful day, serenaded by a flock of tits, goldcrest, all sorts of things. So it's a lovely finish to a beautiful, beautiful morning. Or even afternoon now. And the sun is warm on my right side as it's still very low in the sky, but it's warm and spring-like. And I go back to look at some celandines. Farewell for now.
I think that's a lovely way to finish, talking about the mindful effect of just sitting by a stream. I found it very powerful, very restful, really helpful in many ways. And you can hear a much longer version of that recording of the magical stream in one of our Friday sound escapes. This is number 164. So these sound escapes are introduced by our good friend, longtime podcaster, Hannah Tribe. And they're just a little weekly audio postcard from the countryside to help you relax and escape wherever you are. And so I didn't find any adders on this walk or merlins, but I hope you enjoyed the wander around and the beautiful birdsong, especially the skylarks. I know the adders are out there, so I'll keep looking, but the weather has been atrocious, as I'm sure you're all finding, particularly in the UK. So let's hope for warmer and sunnier times. Next week, I'm exploring spring nature while on a pilgrimage to the River Thames in Oxfordshire with travel writer and all-round incredible adventurer, Phoebe Smith. So please join me for that. It's really brilliant. She has so many interesting things to say. Please don't forget to send emails and feedback to me. My email address is editor@countryfile.com. The best emails will be read out in our pod chats. These are when the team and I get together to chat about nature and the countryside in the studio. And now, up until recently, we used to do these every week at the end of each episode, but we've scaled them back to sort of every month or so. But a few listeners have said they miss these studio slots, and I think I do too. So what do you think? Should we make them more frequent again? Let me know. Same email address. But for now, that's it for this week's episode. Really hope you enjoyed it. Thank you so much for listening and supporting the podcast. This podcast was produced in Bristol by Jack Bateman and Lewis Dobbs, and the music, the theme tune, Take Me With You, was written and performed by Blair Dunlop. Take me with you.